Hi, everyone. Welcome to JNPO Classic here on WrestlingObserver.com. JNPO stands for Josh Nason's Punch Out. I'm Josh Nason, not named Punch Out. Hope you guys are doing well. And this is our, if you're new here, this is our continuing look back at the WGAM MMA show, a show I used to do for ESPN New Hampshire back in 2011, 2012. Found some archives, decided to put them up. And here we go. So we've been kind of taking a look week by week, going through some of these old shows. This show takes us back to July 28th, 2011, our last show of the very hot summer. And this show, I was preparing to head out on the road for UFC 133, an event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This was, so we talked to Mike Pyle, who was fighting on that show. Mike is a UFC welterweight, and I believe he is still with the promotion. He very well could be retired by this point. I think the last time he was out, I think he got crushed pretty badly. Anyway, I digress. He was preparing on this this card for a fight against Rory McDonald. Rory was obviously a pretty surging, pretty highly rated prospect, surging up the ranks, and Mike was the latest guy who's going to get in his way. Mike was not backing down and talked about a lot about that in his interview, talked about the hype, and he had he brought up a name I hadn't even thought about in years, John Hathaway. So John Hathaway used to be a guy that was, again, a welterweight in the UFC, someone that was really on the rise. I think he was from England, if I remember right. And he just got derailed by Mike Pyle and then just never kind of got together, had some wins and so on. But then he retired a few years ago, I believe. And one of those guys, there was a lot of hype behind him and a lot of interest, a good-looking kid, very interesting guy, and then just kind of just disappeared. So I completely forgot about that name until I listened to this interview again, and Mike talks about the John Hathaway fight, similar hype and all that. So that was kind of fun to, if you guys remember him. Talked about some of his influences, even talked about how he got on the Universal Soldier movie as well. So that was kind of cool. Good interview with Mike. Very spirited interview. He was into it, which made it a lot of fun. Other topics we talked about, the Captain America movie had came out, and I did not like that. Again, preparing to head on the road for UFC 133. We actually recorded the show on a Wednesday, so I could actually get on the road and head out. And let's see, actually, some big news at that time. Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson for the UFC bantamweight title. That was actually scheduled and set, going to be on Versus TV. And it was actually going to be the first, I said it was going to be the first UFC title fight to be aired on a free televised show. However, that's incorrect because that actually was UFC 75 about 5 years earlier, give or take. So that was so I was wrong about that. But again, regardless, the fact they were putting this on free TV or cable TV, but you kind of get the idea. That was a really big deal at the time, except for Versus. And so we talked about that. Alistair Overeem. Again, if you've been listening to these, you notice this continued theme of Strike Force and UFC discontent and all that stuff. And Alistair Overeem was head of the line. He was actually going to set to fight for a promotion called United Glory and not UFC or Strike Force. And there was continuing issues with the promotion and all that. So that was top of mind at the time. Some other big fights were announced. Michael Chandler versus Eddie Alvarez. The first fight was announced, and that's something we discussed as well. And my last note before we get on to the show is PJ and I closed the show doing a preview of a Strikeforce event. This is like, considering what we just saw this past weekend with, was it UFC 213, I believe? What the hell was it this past weekend? You guys are yelling at me right now. It was 215, sorry, the Nunez versus Shevchenko event. So get this Strikeforce lineup. This is on free TV. Dan Henderson versus Fedor Emelianenko. Misha Tate versus Marlos Kunin. Ian Kennedy. Tim Kennedy versus Robbie Lawler and Paul Daly versus Tyron Woodley, right? That was a free show on Showtime. Isn't that crazy? That was just amazing. Just, you know, 6 years ago, how much things have changed. And that was on free TV. Can you imagine that? It's incredible. So we previewed that event. It just blew my mind looking back then. I'm like, my God, all those different fights were on that show. It's amazing. And PJ also talked about something we were going to give away. I can, for the life of me, I cannot remember what we're going to give away, if we talked about it in a future show or not, but there was something big. I have no idea what it was. So hopefully that'll come back to me at some point. Maybe we talk about it on a future show. But that's about it. Okay, so without further ado, let's get to the, let's see, the July 28th, 2011 edition of the WGAM MMA show, featuring yours truly, PJ Hewitt, and the one and only Mike Pyle. We'll tell you how you can see a UFC title fight for free. Two legends go head-to-head Saturday night, and UFC welterweight Mike Pyle drops by to talk life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's Thursday, July 28th, and WGAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you. Next hour, we're going to talk about everything in the world of mixed martial arts, all kinds of stuff happening. PJ, what's happening?
Good evening, Josh. A very beautiful, lovely evening in southern New Hampshire. About 85 degrees out. No humidity.
As we look out the windows here downtown.
It's beautiful outside right now.
The WGAM studios here. And yeah, it's really nice out. And everything is good. Life is good right now. I did see Captain America, the movie, last night. We'll tie this because Captain America associated with Randy Couture.
Right.
So, yeah. So I saw,
of course.
I saw the movie last night. I was like, eh. I really wanted to like it, but it wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be.
How much better would the movie have been if Randy Couture was Captain America?
That would have been pretty awesome. Just submitting guys and beating people up and all that stuff. That would have been pretty cool. So yeah, it was okay. It was okay. Actually, Randy Couture is should be starting to film, if not already, Expendables 2. Did you like Expendables, the first one?
I never saw the Expendables.
What?
I did not see the Expendables.
I'll have to bring... Do you have a Blu-ray player?
I do not have a Blu-ray player. I am way behind.
Man. You have an 8-track? See, what did we talk? Cassettes?
No, I'm past that.
Okay, good.
I am... Those digital video discs, I believe, I can still play.
So you're past laser discs?
Yes. Okay. Yes, past laser discs.
You know, that's a delay there. Like, am I? Yes. Good. Good stuff. Okay. So all kinds of stuff to talk about. We're talking to UFC welterweight Mike Pyle in our second segment. He is fighting at UFC 133, which is coming up a week from this Saturday in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yours truly will be there. And yeah, it should be fun. A lot of changes on the card. I'm bummed that Rich Franklin is going to be fighting on that, but there are plenty of other events and good fights. And Mike Pyle has got talking a lot of trash about his opponent, Rory McDonald. And he's also got some interesting stuff happening in his past, too. Been around the world and III. So he's been there. So we'll be talking to him in our second segment. So a few things to kick off with this week. We'll get more into Strikeforce coming up this Saturday, Fedor versus Henderson. We'll preview that in our last segment, talk a little Combat Zone. But one of the things that happened since we last were on the air is the UFC did a little shift. You know, we're talking about a lot of, you know, the amount of events they're having and all that stuff. So they announced their next bantamweight title fight. Bantamweight champion is Dominic Cruz. And Dominic Cruz is going to fight Demetrius Johnson. We had been
who I mentioned last week as a possibility that he might fight.
And I have it on good authority. They heard you say that.
Yes,
and
they said, must be listening.
Let's match them up. So the bantamweight division actually got a few fights made last week. So the title fight is Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson. And I cannot remember the date. If you want to find that for me, PJ, I believe it's in October or November. But so they made that fight. They also made a number one contenders fight. Former WEC bantamweight champion Brian Bowles is going to take on Uriah Faber, the same Faber that lost to Cruz. The winner of that match will get a title shot. So we talked about that, not giving Faber the immediate rematch. So UFC is kind of hoping that Faber would win, and then we'll fight the winner of Cruz versus Johnson, which is on
October 1st. Also on that card, Charlie Brenneman, Anthony Johnson, Pat Barry versus Stefan Struve, Mac Danzig versus Matt Wyman, Michael Johnson versus Paul Sass, and Mike Easton versus Jeff Hoogland.
Mm. So the interesting thing about that card, though, it is not on pay-per-view. It's on Versus.
Correct. Versus 6.
The first time ever that a UFC title fight will be on cable TV, essentially free TV, if you want to call it that. Interesting. A few different reasons. One is title fights are, again, always on pay-per-view. They always headline a pay-per-view. However, Cruz versus Johnson are not two well-known guys. You can't, UFC's policy, and I agree with this, you can't have a pay-per-view where a title fight is a co-main event and a non-title fight is a main event. It hurts your title. It seems like the belt's not important. But you're not going to sell a pay-per-view with Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson. So what did they decide to do? They decided to put it on Versus. So it's interesting. It's interesting that they've done that. I like it, but it's kind of interesting.
It helps, I think. It'll help draw people to the card that it's a title fight. But maybe, like you said, that wouldn't be a draw on pay-per-view. So that's kind of where that title is right now. You know, does that speak to the amount of guys they have in that division? There's just not enough known guys?
I think so. Bantamweight is still evolving. I mean, it had a good run in WEC, but it was, again, there was 5 to 8 shows a year, if that, and you didn't have to worry about as many shows as are with the UFC. So you get away with having a small roster. However, you know, it's not just bantamweights you can just get from everywhere. They want to get the right guys, and that's why they're talking about this flyweight division, that they're not going to have a champion right away. It's going to take some time. The division has to kind of gel, but they want a champion at 135. So 135 is still really evolving because, again, 145, which also came over, a lot of the guys from 155, you know, your Kenny Florian types, your Tyson Griffins, Joe Stevensons, all these guys are dropping down to 145 to kind of try that out. So it kind of fills in that division more. 135 didn't really have that luxury. So, again, that's a reason why Faber, who has gotten title shots before, is going to give an opportunity to get another title shot if he beats a former champion, Brian Bulls. So, yeah, kind of interesting. 135 still is still evolving and is going to take a while, I think, for the mainstream to really kind of grab hold of it and say, yes, I want to buy that in pay-per-view.
Do we see an Ultimate Fighter possibly with those lighter weights to bring a bunch of guys in to help build that division up?
Yeah, I think so. It's been speculated for a while. Originally, there was talk there was going to be Uriah Faber and Miguel Torres being coaches on the Ultimate Fighter, and there's talk about Uriah Faber and Dominic Cruz doing that before the title fight, but just the way that the schedule went, it just didn't work out that way. But yeah, I think that'd be good. I think you have to educate the mainstream fan. The hardcore fan understands. The mainstream fan is who they're trying to get. The mainstream fan will hopefully understand and help build some of these stars with 135 pounders and say 145 pounders. I think that division still needs a little bit of depth because right now it's basically veterans who don't want to make 155 and guys that a lot of people don't know. So yeah, I think that'd be a great way to kind of introduce people to it and build names for the future and could be a way to kind of kickstart that franchise again. So I thought that was interesting this week. Another interesting thing I thought this week, you know, last episode here, we talked all about Strikeforce and we talked about the Spencer Kite from Heavy MMA about whether Strikeforce is dead. You know, what's the purpose after Alistair Overeem essentially being dropped from the tournament because he couldn't compete in September and preferred to fight in October instead. Well, Alistair Overeem said, well, I'm going to go fight October regardless. And he's fighting, but it's not for a Zuffa organization. He's fighting in an organization called United Glory. And it's not based out of Russia. It's based out of the United States. They've had a few events before. And he's fighting in October in Moscow, Russia, against an opponent. I don't believe, and you can check this, I don't believe any opponent's been named yet, correct?
I'm looking right now. I do not see one, no.
I believe, and on the poster, and I don't know if the poster, if you can see that there. The poster had Overeem, Sergey Karatanov, who is fighting in September in the tournament. So I thought that was kind of interesting they had him on there. So he is the Strikeforce heavyweight champion, and he is basically saying, well, instead of fighting on any Strikeforce card or anything like that, I'm going to go fight for another organization completely outside the realm of the Zuffa's landscape. I mean, what does that say to you?
I don't know. And Dana White having a comment come out says, Overeem is under contract, and when his pinky toe heals up, we'll get him another fight. Well, apparently he doesn't want to wait for that to heal, and he's just taking his talents elsewhere. I don't know if he's allowed to under his current contract.
He is, and that's
as long as it wasn't maybe a direct competitor.
This is the goofy thing about these Strikeforce deals, right? And this is part of the thing. They bought them, but a lot of these contracts they bought as is. So part of Overeem's deal and part of a lot of these deals, they go fight other organizations, which on the surface makes no sense. But at the time, that's the only way Strikeforce could get some of these guys. Because Overeem, professional kickboxers, and when kickboxing was kind of big, he was obviously doing that. There's a couple of Japanese organizations like Dream he was fighting for. So he wanted to have his options open. And kind of the idea is you think, all right, all these guys want to fight in the UFC, right?
I mean, you would think that
the heavyweight division is still, there's names, but it's still kind of growing and still building. You know, he's got his chance. He has one fight left on his Strikeforce deal. And then he can bolt, he can do whatever he wants to. So you would figure that he would just say, okay, let me get this one fight. Okay, if I'm going to be hurt and I can't fight in the tournament, let me get this one fight out of the way in Strikeforce. We'll see what happens and then see if we can get some sort of UFC deal after that. If I'm negotiating with a guy, if I'm Dana White and this happens, I'm kind of like, does he even want to be here? You know, I don't blame him for the whole September thing because it seemed like a little short notice because, again, he said he had agreed to fight in October. He had an injured toe, and he didn't want to fight in September. I can understand that. If I'm the UFC, I don't know why. I understand they said, you know, Showtime doesn't have dates, but why wouldn't you just push the event back? It's not that huge of a deal, right? And then your guy's like, I'm going to go fight for a completely different organization in Moscow. It's like, he doesn't even have an opponent yet.
No, it's very interesting, and we'll see if he ends up in the UFC after that. I would assume that they would like to have him in there. He's one of the bigger name draws in Strikeforce, and maybe the casual MMA fan really doesn't know him too well because they don't get that exposure. But taking his talents to Moscow, Russia. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
But here's the thing. The heavyweight championship is a joke in Strikeforce.
Right. It seems like most of the championships are now.
But he's defended it once, and he won it like 3 years ago, even further back than that. I mean, it's just it's stupid. And so what this all kind of leads to is I read and here's the flip side. Strikeforce is an awesome event this Saturday. It, on paper, just looks really fun, and we'll get to that a little bit more later on because it just – card by card, got familiar names, fun fights, and so on. So I read a column by Ben Folks, who writes for a few different sites, MMAfighting.com, writes for SI.com. Instead of just talking about the women's division, right, and the whole how women's MMA, really Dana White's not a huge fan of women's MMA, and just because of the depth. There's not a lot of depth out there. You watch some of these fights, they're either really good or they're terrible. It's just the way that it is. And the point that they don't really have this this luxury of like guys have go have a bad fight, you can always come back another fight. Women, it's like since there's only one woman's fight per show, they're judged on that, right? So this is kind of the base of the article and about Strikeforce, which has women in the co-main event spot this Saturday night. But one of the things I can't remember the term, but essentially that, you know, Strikeforce has now kind of become a nuisance, right? This whole idea of just all these like issues that are coming up with him and with Overeem and just all this stuff is like no way really wants to be there. It's like they bought this thing, but did they really need to? Because it seemed like it was going to fall apart on its own anyway.
Right, and they could have just snapped up those guys when that happened, but they wanted to make sure that they had at least the rights to them for right now. And, well, with you said Strikeforce, you know, the guys don't want to be there. It's quickly falling apart. I think a lot faster than it would have had the Zuffa not purchased them.
Right. It's unfortunate because they're an organization known. I mean,
because all these guys want to go to the UFC now.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll honor my contract here, but I'd rather be fighting in the UFC where people are going to see me, where more people are going to see me fight.
And you can make more money because they have bonuses. The fight of the night bonuses, Strikeforce has never done that. And just it's run separately, but it's owned by the same organization. So if you just take a step back from a sanity checkpoint, right? Two organizations owned by the same company. One, you can make a ton more money, ton more exposure. People know, oh, you fight in the UFC? Even if you're a scrub, you're fighting the UFC. They still can say that. Chance to make bonuses, all this stuff, right? The other organization, seen by less people, less prestige, their champions are abandoning their titles and going to the other organization. If you're there, are you less competition, less money? Are you saying, I want to stay here? You're going to be like, how do I get here?
Could they not just grandfather those contracts from Strikeforce into the UFC?
No, well, the problem is...
You bring this up. That's every time I ask a question about that, I always forget it's because of the production for Showtime, right?
The Showtime. Yeah. Showtime has a contract for X amount of events, but if I'm Showtime, even if I don't like the UFC or if there's some issue, and Showtime is like... Showtime really loves boxing. They've said that the boxing is their staple, and this is kind of leading a lot of people to believe that it may... That eventually MMA is going to be on their way out there, at least for any type of major promotion, which could open the door for HBO. That's a conversation for another time. So if you have these, you know, this promotion, they say, okay, we have X amount of events here. If you're Showtime, aren't you just like, listen, we'll let you out of it. Let's sign a new deal. Give us, you know, X amount of events.
And buy them out.
Buy them out and give us X amount of UFC events next year, and then we'll call it good. Wouldn't you do that? You have a bet because for Showtime's perspective, they're saying, hey, we have the UFC now. They have a better brand name. People are like, I want to see the UFC. More subscribers. It seems like a duh type of thing, but I don't understand why that wouldn't happen.
Right, and we're obviously not into the particulars and don't know everything and all the contracts and
everything. We know everything.
Well, we like to think we do.
Yes.
We really present that we know it. But, you know, we're a lot of times we're just like anybody else. We're just kind of on the outside. We're watching, observing, and things that make sense to us. You know, well, why aren't they doing that? Well, there's got to be something holding them back. So
VPs of common sense we should be.
I agree.
Steal Bill Simmons' term. So a few other news and notes from the week, and I'm going to bring this up here. Eddie Alvarez, we have talked to Bellator CEO Bjorn Rebney here in the past, and we asked him if he was going to compete on the August show at Mohegan Sun. He said no. Eddie is taking some time off, and Michael Chandler's taking some time off. However, announced just a couple hours ago as we record this, there is a date for the fight and a venue for the fight. Tell us about it.
It'll be October 15th, and I'm still looking for the event here. Or where is the event going to be held? I did not see.
Atlantic City.
Okay.
Atlantic City, and it's Bellator. I believe it's 54.
Correct.
Okay, so Bellator 54. It's going to be in October on MTV2. Eddie Alvarez taking on Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler, 8-0, won last season's lightweight tournament. 1-3 straight, beat Patricky Pitbull Fourier in the finals of that to earn his shot. So Eddie Alvarez looking to stay undefeated in Bellator, looking for a second successful defense of the title. And we'll see what happens to Eddie Alvarez.
And he's one of the, speaking of draws for companies, obviously I would say one of the top draws for Bellator. Mm-hmm. And Bellator, I'll have to bring this up too, they got good ratings. Last week.
Oh, they did.
Oh, for their last show. Yeah.
Oh,
they got to, I think it was the second or third highest rated, show that they've had on MTV2.
Interesting. Huh? See, on the flip side of that. So my DVR for some, so there's two events last week, and there was a Strikeforce Challengers event on Friday, which I thought was pretty entertaining for the most part. And there was a Bellator event on Saturday. For some reason, my DVR side did not record the Bellator event. Unfortunately, Bellator doesn't do replays, and they don't have anything on demand. So I have to try to track it down video-wise. I wish that they had, I don't know, if you have one event a month, give me some sort of way to find it. Otherwise, that would be my only thing for Bellator's. I like the experience of watching on my TV, and I missed it. Okay, my bad. Give me another opportunity to watch it. You know what I mean?
Right. And it was the second highest rated Bellator on MTV2, 277,000 people approximately. Wow. For Bellator 47. The only one that beat that was Bellator 44. And what was that? That must have been.
Wait, so this past event was what, 47? Is that what you just said?
Yes.
47. Where is 46 on that list? They have it up in front of you.
46 on that list is 185,000.
So it's a little bit down.
That was a little bit down lower. It was from 44, it went 325, 264, 185, 277.
I see. See, the reason I asked that is because Bellator, you know, as we talked to Bjorn Rebney, you can listen to the interview in our archives at WGAMradio.com. One of the things we asked about is the summer series, and the summer series is different than the traditional season in that they go one event, June, July, August, kind of spacing it out as opposed to every single week. That's kind of interesting. I wonder if the once a month may work for them.
And that was the Michael Chandler one versus Pitbull.
Oh, that was the finals.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I remember. Yes. I wonder if that down there, that'd be interesting to watch. We'll see what the August ratings come in for, because if they can do 12 events a year, do just once a month and put on MTV2 or Spike, if that thing ever happens, that might work out too. So who knows? So we're going to go to our first break of the evening. We have getting ready to call Mike Pyle, talk all about UFC 133 and life in general. This is the WGAM MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. All right, back in the WGAM MMA show, and can't seem to get a hold of Mike Pyle right now. Hopefully he'll call in a few minutes. We'll check in. But
still trying to track him down.
Still trying to track him down, as they say in the radio biz and in general in life, I guess. So Strikeforce Saturday, we'll bump up that preview here to this segment. Big event coming up on Saturday with headlined by Dan Henderson versus Fedor Emelianenko. The event's going to be on Showtime. The aforementioned Showtime at 10 o'clock it's going to start. So we'll start right from the top. Two legends, no title on the line. It's going to be a catchweight fight. Dan Henderson, Fedor Emelianenko. Fedor coming off two straight defeats. Dan Henderson is the current Strikeforce light heavyweight champion, but he will be no gold to be on the line. And in general, it's one of those fights that got people, when they first mentioned it, they were really kind of interested in checking it out. And two veterans that are really Yeah, really going to go at it this week, this Saturday night. We'll go and take a look here at the Strike Force card. If you excuse me just a second. Dead air is always good for all these different events and things like that. I'm hearing Mike Pyle is on the other line, so actually I'm going to kill some time and talk about the another organization, Pro Elite, is coming back, and we'll mention them in a few minutes. And Mike's on the line. Great. So we'll go back to what we're originally going to do, which is talk to our first guest of the evening. He is a man that's been around for a long time, fought organizations all over the world, and someone that is going to go for it again. UFC 133 coming up in just a week. We're on the phone with Mike Pyle. Mike, thanks for joining the MMA show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So you've been, I tell you what, I love a guy that can sell a fight and a guy that can really acts like he wants to fight, and you've definitely been doing that with this this upcoming bout. And yeah, you're taking on Rory McDonald, UFC 133, and you've been saying some pretty choice things about Rory.
I've been what?
I said you've been saying some pretty interesting things about Rory, and it just
like what?
Well, I mean, I'm going back to your ESPN blog, which is fantastic, by the way, and I love it. You're really honest. You talk about the not letting a kid who still gets ID'd stand in your way of getting a welterweight title shot. And you talked about a lot of the hype with young kids. And I mean, did you feel that a lot of people kind of assume that you were just going to get run over in this fight?
You know what? The thing is I really don't care what other people say, because at the end of the day, it's not going to matter anyway. You know, there's a 50-50 chance that they're right. You know, why don't they go play the lottery or something if they think they're that smart, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, if I pay attention to all the, you know, I guess you could say haters or whatever, they think I might lose, or maybe not haters, maybe just big Roy fans, which that's the way it is, and that's cool. But I can't pay attention to all that, man. It's all BS to me. It doesn't make me train any harder or less, or make me doubt myself or not believe him. You know, it's just whatever. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it does not matter what anybody else says. It's what I do in training camp, what I do to prepare myself for the next threat for me. And that next threat is Roy McDonald, which is a very big threat. It's very dangerous for sure. And I'm looking forward to that challenge.
So it's interesting, you know, UFC 120, John Hathaway. I remember a lot of people talking before that, they're just assuming, you know, Hathaway was on a nice little roll prospect, and you went out there and simply beat him. And I think that, you know, that ability to kind of like shut out the critics. I mean, you're a veteran, you've been doing this for a while, and I would assume that helps. You know, you don't have to pay attention to those outside influences and just focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, you know, and that was a prime example. You know, when I was to meet Hathaway, a severe underdog, so I just went in and did my job. I went in prepared. I prepared, 100%. I was 100% mentally focused. I was ready to go in and conquer. And I did. And, that's just the next scenario that's going to happen. You know, that's what's going on now is, you know, there was more hype around, you know, Hathaway, which he had earned. You know, he beat Rick Story. He'd just come off a good win with Diego Sanchez. And then I went in and totally dominated him. Now, Rory, I kind of a little bit understand, you know, the hype, but not, you know, not as much as they're giving him, you know, just for beating a 155-pounder, throwing a 155-pound guy around in the cage when you're a 70-pounder. That's the way it should be. That's how it put it on, you know, to get a pat on the back for that, you know, whatever. And then before that, he got destroyed by Condit. So I don't know what the hype is. Whatever it is, I don't mind. I don't care. I'm just going to go do my job. I'm going to, you know, get in there, and I'm going to compete to my fullest.
Talking to Mike Pyle, competes at UFC 133 against Rory McDonald. And when the UFC says we have an opponent for you, how do you prepare? Do you watch any tape? Do you just going to... I mean, how do you game plan, I guess, for a fighter like Rory McDonald?
Well, you got to, you know, when you look at a fighter, you look at what his strong points are, what his weaknesses are, and focus more on what his strong points are, you know, and make sure that you avoid, if it's a wicked right hand, then, you know, make sure that you prep yourself constantly for that wicked right hand, you know, and then if he's weak on foot locks or whatever, then make sure you focus on, you know, the foot locks, you know, it changes through every fighter, you know, through every match that you have. And, you know, and that's what's fun about it. That's what's challenging. You know, you go in and you say, okay, this is, I think we can defeat the guy like this, you know, and try your best to stick with the game plan. But game plans change real quick when you get hit in the mouth.
Now, you mentioned you've been in this sport a very long time. Your first pro fight back in 1999 versus a guy who many MMA fans know very well in Quentin Rampage Jackson. Explain how you got into the sport and what that first fight with Rampage was like.
The first thing I got into the sport with was Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was a big influence on my eagerness to learn martial arts and to be able to kick and, you know, kick somebody through an entire room with one kick. You know, that was awesome as a kid. Secondly was Royce Gracie when he, you know, did what he did in the UFC and what he did for the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu world. And I was influenced by that as well. I'd already been training in Taekwondo at the time. I was already, you know, kind of yearning for a bit more contact, a little bit rough than Taekwondo had to offer for me, you know, the kind of the touch sparring, you know, point system they had, you know, when you go and compete, just, you know, it wasn't enough, you know, the guy outworked me by, you know, touching me, you know, more times than I touched him, that kind of didn't settle well with me, so I wanted to, you know, get out there and find more, you know, something, hey, let's go get hit in the face, hit somebody else in the face, let's do it for real, you know. And then at the time, it was about 1993, that's when UFC burst onto the scene, you know, with Hoyce, you know, lying on his back and beating all these bigger guys, and it was fascinating to me. So at the time, I lived in a small town, so I just got, you know, Black Belt magazines and was looking at the step-by-step grappling moves they had in there, and I ordered some videotapes and learned how to grapple on a dummy that I had there, which was nothing at the time. No, just kidding. But, you know, and I was self-taught, you know, and then I got a few amateur fights, and then I came, and then I got the chance to fight, you know, Clinton, and, you know, because the guy that I originally was supposed to fight at 175 pounds had gotten hurt in the jiu-jitsu tournament or whatever. And so the promoter called me and said, look, we got a problem. You know, a week before the fight, he says, we got a little problem. Your guy's hurt. Here's who you can fight. I knew Quentin. I've seen him around at some of the grappling tournaments, you know. You know, I knew he was a beast. I said, well, let's do it. You know, I've been training, so let's go. So I fought him, got tossed around a bit in the ring, got thrown out of the ring, and then pushed back in by my corner, like, go get him, you know, it's okay, why don't you try it? But it was an awesome experience, and then I went on to fight John Fitch, and then my career, you know, started to pick up from there and get some good wins.
So one of the things that, you know, I love talking to fighters that you've been around so many different organizations. You fought for WEC, you fought for Shudo, you fought for the old IFL, you fought for Sport Fight, you fought for Strikeforce, you fought for Elite XC, World Victory Road, you've even fought in an Affliction card. I mean, did you ever think, I mean, going from place to place to place to place, did you ever think that call from the UFC was going to come?
I knew that it would. I hope that it would. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't want to be cocky and say that I knew that it would. But I was actually in no hurry to actually, you know, to get into UFC and then be not be ready and then be out just as soon as I'm in. So there were a couple of years where I was kind of flirting with the idea, like, okay, you know, once I won the belt at WEC, then next thing you know, IFL popped up. I was like, well, there's something new. That's something cool. That's, you know, and they were giving you, you know, a couple of grand a month, you know, in the mail. And then you get, you know, it's a team, you know, it was something new. So I was like, what the hell? Instead of reaching out to UFC to see if they're interested, maybe I'll try this IFL thing. And, you know, they talked it up like, you know, it was going to be the next best thing. And, you know, I wasn't making, you know, any money at the time. And, you know, $2,000 a month is, you know, it's good for a good old country boy like me to get some cash coming in, you know, regularly. So I jumped on board with that, and I wouldn't say I regret it, but shouldn't have went into the, you know, the 85 division. Should have stayed at 70, but I needed to get a good teammate on that would really make the team stronger. I have the frame to make 85, and at the time he didn't. So that was it. I like new things, you know what I mean? And that really intrigued me. And then finally I was like, let me try this. Let me see if UFC was, you know, interested in me. And so I started reaching out through management. And they're like, yeah, right now, you know, roster's full. But, you know, if someone gets hurt, you know, we'll put you on the list to, you know, give you a shout. And I was in Bulgaria at the time shooting Universal Soldiers Regeneration. And I'd gotten an email that said, hey, there's possibility that you could fight on so-and-so date if you want it, which was like 2 weeks. And I was coming home in a week from that point. And I said, yeah, let's do it. I hadn't been training, you know, but it was the call from UFC, you know, that, you know, I'd been waiting for a while. So jumped on it. I was fat and out of shape, you know, cut a lot of weight. It hurt, and was unable to make weight. But, you know, I went in, and I still fought anyway. And, you know, and Dana did say to me when I was back there lying on the stretcher with IV, he said, bro, you look like shit. If you don't want to fight, I understand. And I said, well, that is not happening. I'm fighting. I'm just... Let me get IV'd up, make sure, you know, that Brock is okay with me being overweight once I put these IVs in, because I was on weight, but I was severely dehydrated. And they went, they talked. Brock said, let's do it. It was short notice. It's all good. So hydrated up, went in there, and lost. But I wasn't going to pass that opportunity up.
Now, how'd you end up landing that role Universal Soldier with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
That was through a mutual friend that had some small connections into Hollywood, if you will, the industry, and just kind of threw my name in the hat. You know, there was just some word floating around. They were looking for someone, you know, to have the supporting role, Just need an American guy, soldier, someone to play, you know, play a captain of the, or whatever. So, you know, I threw my name in the hat, and director John Hines sifted through some things on the internet, a lot of my interviews or whatever, and he said I kind of stood out and asked me, you know, gave me a call personally and said, would you like to jump on board? And, I grew up in a trailer park, man. That was a dream come true. You know, do you want to be in a movie? Yeah. Do I want to be in a movie? Are you crazy? Of course I want to be in a movie. So, and then that was it, you know. And then I agreed. He flew me out, and then we did it.
So from the lights of the trailer park to the bright lights of the UFC, Mike Pyle. And Mike, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to plug how people can get in touch with you, any sponsors, and all that good stuff.
Thanks to Extreme Couture and all the coaches there that's helping me prepare for Roy and this big challenge that I have ahead of me. I'd like to thank all my sponsors. You guys know who you are. All the fans, number one. If it wasn't for all you fans, I wouldn't be doing this interview, number one. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Pyle. So that's it, folks.
Great stuff. Well, he fights against Rory McDonald at UFC 133 coming up in just over a week's time. Mike Pyle. Mike, best of luck to you. Thanks for joining us. And I've got so much more stuff to ask you about. We'll have to have you on again sometime.
Sure, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Pyle from the UFC. And that was a good interview. I need to apologize to listeners for my terrible early intro as you went in the other room to answer the phone. I was starting to talk about Strikeforce stuff, and I just completely... I let like about 3 seconds of just dead air. I was just trying to pull up the Strikeforce card. I'm like, hearing him call in, I'm just like, do I really want to get started? So I think I mentioned something about Pro Elite as well. So we'll get to that in the last segment.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
No, great job by Mike, though. And it'd be interesting. That fight coming up a week from Saturday.
Should be good. You can check out his, like I said, his stuff on Twitter, and also go to ESPN. We'll plug the mothership. ESPN.com, go to the MMA section. Just do a search for Mike Pyle. You'll see the blog we talked about. He didn't really sell it as well as I thought it probably should have been sold. He said a lot of good stuff about Rory McDonald. Very interesting stuff and very truthful stuff. Talked about a little bit in the interview, and we'll talk about that. And he talks about more in the blog. You can see all that. So, having said all that, we'll go to our final break of the evening, and we're going to talk about Strikeforce finally, and maybe I'll finish my thought on Pro Elite. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WJAM, the game. WJAM, MMA Show, final segment of the night if you're just joining us now. As I always say, shame on you. You've missed a lot of good stuff. We opened up the show talking about UFC Bantamweight title situation. Free TV, you can see a title fight on free. We talked about that. Talk a little bit about Alistair Overeem fighting in Russia instead of fighting for a Zuffa organization. And Eddie Alvarez taking on Michael Chandler in October. So you can listen to all that and more. And we also just talked to a great interview with Mike Pyle. Mike Pyle fights at UFC 133 against Rory McDonald. And PJ, he won an award. What award did he win?
I think it's the first time we've had to beep out a cuss word.
Yes.
On awesome. Our show.
Awesome.
I think we did pretty good, though. How many? We've talked to quite a few people, at least a dozen people now.
I think we've talked to at least 238 people.
And he's the first one, so that's pretty impressive.
So people may be wondering, hey, who are all those guys you've talked to? And PJ, how did they find this out?
Well, you can go to WGAMradio.com. You search under shows, look for the MMA Show, and we podcast everything that we've ever done. You can also check us out on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up the WGAM MMA Show, and on Twitter at WGAM_MMA.
Yeah, and certainly share the show with your friends and let people know about it. The more people, the better. And if you ever want to, you know, put questions on our Facebook or tweet at us or something like that, we'll answer questions on the show. We totally will.
We were trying to get stuff to give away at one point. We were going to have something to give away. I don't even want to say it because I don't know if we're going to be able to get it.
So someday we might have it.
Yeah.
Someday. So yeah,
at one point we will have prizes to give away.
Yeah. So we'll have, at some point, someday yes. We'll do that. So all kinds of, good stuff this weekend. Again, we're talking about Strikeforce, Fedor versus Henderson. We'll get back to that as I tried to attempt to talk to that during the second segment, but we'll get to it now. So led off by Fedor Emelianenko versus Dan Henderson. Fedor coming off two high profile losses. Dan Henderson, the current light heavyweight championship. This fight is not for a title. Dan Henderson, Fedor Emelianenko, what do you think, PJ?
Wow, it's been a tough couple of fights for Fedor. His last two fights against Antonio Bigfoot Silva and Fabricio Werdum, both losses. His loss to Werdum was the first one in about, 10 years? Dan Henderson is a guy that UFC fans know. His last loss was back in 2010 to now UFC Jake Shields.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he fought in UFC was, of course, that fight with Michael Bisping, where he knocked Bisping out and then dropped an arm, a giant forearm on him, like as an exclamation point, because those two had some bad blood.
Yep.
I think Dan Henderson gives Fedor a third loss.
Really?
I do.
All right.
Yep.
So that is this has been a really tough. It's been a really tough fight to pick because no one can seem to have a really consensus back and forth. Henderson, you know, he's 40 years old. He's kind of like this, the Randy Couture award, I guess, for oldest fighter as a champion, still kicking it. You know, he's a interesting dude. You know what I mean? He's got power in those hands. But again, as Jake Shields showed, you know, Henderson had him knocked silly in that first
right.
round. And then for the next four rounds, it was Shields takedown, nothing. Shields takedown, nothing. And Henderson gassed out. Yeah, I heard the observation made earlier today that Fedor is actually, for the first time, he's a smaller heavyweight, so he's actually fighting guys that now are in Henderson. You know, he's usually fighting guys that are bigger than he is. Now he's fighting a guy that he's bigger than Henderson. Yeah, but not by a huge amount, but, you know, probably 15 pounds or so.
You think that'd be a decisive advantage for him, though?
I don't think he's going to get worn. I mean, you get worn out fighting bigger guys, I would assume. I mean, Fedor's made a career out of it, but it's interesting. It's very interesting. This fight, like, I'm really looking forward to this because I have no idea who to pick. I will, I'm going to pick Dan Henderson by unanimous decision. It could easily go the other way. This is one of those fights. I can't think of the last one. The last fight, I could not pick a decisive win. I have zero idea how this is going to turn out, which makes it fun.
Yeah. Those are the fights you like to see, the ones where you have no idea. You know, sometimes you go into a fight and you think, well, this guy has no chance, Ryan Bader versus Tito Ortiz, and look what happens, and you get that big shock victory. But with these guys, like you said, I'm kind of in that same camp of it could go either way, but I'm leaning towards Henderson.
I'm really now I can't stop thinking about that fight. We'll move on to co-main event of the evening. We're talking earlier about the women. The women are going to get their shot. Some nice, you know, some big eyes are going to be on them. Important eyes, including the Zuffa eyes. Women's welterweight championship: Marlos Kunin, the champion, versus Misha Takedown Tate. Misha Tate, really well known for being a good fighter, but also using her sexuality to promote, which has caused some controversy within the women's ranks. Marlos Kunin defeating Liz Carmouche, I believe, in her last fight, is the champion. Not well known probably by a lot of mainstream fans, but a lot of hardcore fans understand her. Marlos Kunin versus Misha Tate. Who do you pick in this one? This is another one of those that's kind of a coin flip.
You know, to be completely honest, I really have little to no idea about women's MMA. So I'll go with the champion. And to your point, where Misha Tate's been known to kind of, you know, flaunt her sexuality to help promote herself, I would kind of put her maybe then in the same category of
Hotness. Sorry, everyone.
No, of what's her name, the race car, Danica Patrick.
Oh, Danica.
Who does a very good job of doing that herself with the GoDaddy commercials and, you know, just being in nothing but very skimpy bathing suit and using that appeal to help draw people in to her sport, even though she might not be the best driver out in the course. Mm-hmm. So with, you know, if Misha Tate is able to beat Marlos Kunin and win a championship and then use that only... she could skyrocket potentially.
Yeah,
and then you start getting those mainstream MMA fans knowing who she is.
And another great example, Gina Carano, probably
casual.
Yeah, the best known name in women's MMA, Gina Carano, when she hasn't fought in over a year. By the way, have you seen the Haywire trailer?
I have not. No.
If go right now to Haywire, just search Haywire trailer in Google. And it's Gina Carano's debut in an action movie by Steven Soderbergh. It looks awesome. Lost Stars looks great. Really interesting fight, 185 pounds. Tim Kennedy versus Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler is one of those guys that's been around forever. Knockout power, doesn't seem to have much else, unfortunately. Tim Kennedy, built in the mold of Brian Stann, former Army Special Forces, and actually trains with Brian Stann. Big, thick dude. Recently, I believe this last fight beat Melvin Manhoff. Before that, lost his championship fight to Feijão. And he's a guy that he's kind of in that mold. If he can really get on a roll, you know, the Strikeforce could have their own version of Brian Stann in a lot of ways. Just the story behind that. Kennedy's good in a lot of ways. This is going to be a good test for him.
Yeah, and Robbie Lawler is 3-3 in his last six fights. He can't really put together a string of a couple victories in a row. So it might be a tough fight for him. If I had to lean, I would probably go with Tim Kennedy on that one.
I would as well. Yeah. Paul Daly taking on Tyron Woodley in a welterweight bout. This is another really interesting fight. Woodley, a high prospect, I guess you could say, at 170 pounds, taking on Paul Daly. Tyron Woodley, again, fast rising prospect in Paul Daly. Paul Daly is somebody that he's best known for getting
fired from the UFC
for swinging at Josh Koscheck after a fight.
Dana White said he would never fight in the UFC again,
and now he's fighting in a Zuffa owned organization.
Well, it's not the UFC.
Yeah, not by his own accord. But so he's a guy that fights overseas as well, which is kind of one of these guys that floats back and forth.
He is from Britain, so that would make sense that he'd fight a lot over there.
Here's the interesting thing. So he's also has a contract with Bama, the organization in
where Nate Marquardt just signed,
and they're looking at putting that fight together. So in a strange way, everything just kind of works itself out.
That'd be a good fight. I'd like that one.
Paul Daly versus Tyron Woodley. Woodley, you know, I expect Woodley to win just because, you know, Paul Daly can hit hard, the nickname of Semtex. However, he can't do anything when he's taken down the ground. Woodley comes from a wrestling pedigree. Nice test for Woodley, and, you know, considering, you know, he's right in there for now, title contention, if he can win this, simply because there's no depth in the division. So I would pick Tyron Woodley to win this by unanimous decision, and it's going to be a lot of wrestling in this fight.
Yeah, undefeated Woodley, and Paul Daly's last fight coming against Nick Diaz in that last second, right, the first round.
Great
loss.
First round.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very, very good fight. I'm going to go Paul Daly in that one.
Wow. All right. By what finish?
By what finish?
Yeah.
I'll go opposite you and say unanimous decision.
Paul Daly's going to go unanimous decision.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. I think I saw a pig fly outside the window. Okay. Final, the main card.
I don't like picking finishes like that, but I like picking straight winners. I just pick the winners.
I have to keep you on your toes. Scott Smith versus Tarek Saffiedine. Scott Smith is the miracle kid and also gets knocked the F out.
Speaking of Paul Daly, his last loss Paul Daly.
This was one of the most picture perfect knockouts, I guess you could say. I mean, it was just... Scott Smith did the Ric Flair flop, just dropped straight on his face, done. I mean, it's probably the best way to describe it.
Did he stagger around like with his hands up like he was an old-timey boxer before?
No, this was straight just Flair just going boom, down. Tarek Saffiedine, I've seen him fight a few times, kind of a fun guy. I'm going to pick Saffiedine by second round TKO for no reason other than that's just what the first thing that came to mind. However, Smith has shown the ability to come back and knock people out before, hence the first fight with Kung Lee, which I would recommend go seeing if you haven't already. So I would say yes. I pick Tarek Saffiedine over Scott Smith.
Yeah, I'm with you. Scott Smith last lost to Paul Daly, and Saffiedine last lost to Woodley. So in a strange coincidence, they are fighting each other there, and I'll take Tarek on that one.
That's right. And I'm looking over the prelim card. Nothing really of note, so we'll skip over that. So that happens this Saturday on Showtime, 10 o'clock. So go get Showtime if you don't have it already. But if you're around Friday night, actually, I should mention this. Combat Zone MMA happening at The Rock in Salem, New Hampshire. Tickets are still available, so you can get those. Search Combat Zone MMA in Google. You'll get to their site. PJ is actually going to be going tomorrow night. I'll be traveling to Maine for a wedding. Hooray me. Which means I'll see the Fedor Henderson fight on delay on
Sunday.
Yeah,
Dan the Coast Keefe, John Ortolani's fighting. Hollywood Hewlett, who we saw the last time we were out there, he's fighting Dan the Ghost Keefe. So it's going to be a good card.
Yeah, Friday night, Combat Zone MMA, and Hollywood Hewlett. I like that as a nickname for you.
Hollywood Hewitt, yeah.
Talked about a lot of stuff today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to Mike Powell for joining us. Thanks to PJ Hewitt for sitting across from me.
Always. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks to myself for being here because, you know, I have to get out of bed in the morning. So for the WGAM MMA show, thank you very much again. Until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up.